Round one was over. Parents won. Kids sip.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. That was all started by a mouse.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Gentlemen, start your engine!
To infinity and beyond!
There's a touch of madness around here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to DDP Today, a show that's a little about us, a lot about Disney and fun for the whole family. My name is Justin, and today I'm joined by three of my buddies here. Let me go around and see how everyone's week has gone. Start with my buddy Joey Buckets, Joey Brackets, Joey Q. Big day today, man. Brackets came out.
Yeah, man. South Carolina did pretty well with the number six seed in their side of the house for the upcoming NCAA tournament. It's been a crazy week, though, man. It's been really hard, man. I've been really dealing with everybody down in the Briar Patch. They listened to the last episode. They were really not happy with everything that was said about them, you know? So they're coming after Dave, and I'm trying to keep him back, you know what I'm saying? So the Briar Patch guys, Brer Rabbit, Brer Fox, they're not happy right now. So it's been a long week dealing with them. But besides that, I'm doing all right, you know? So,
you know what? The DDP family stepped up and actually took your back over ours with a lot of this, with the what happened with the brackets, with the last week. So good on you, man. You know, good on you. You know, they got your back.
Yeah, man, it's good. So
absolutely love it. Let me go all the way down south to the great Aussie Dave. What's up, man?
Yeah, no, just to piggyback on that, Joe, like, I completely understand. I've always said that a stupid opinion held by millions is still a stupid opinion. So I do love a good argument. You know this. I will stand by my point of view on a couple of those, because I was like, what are we doing? But no, it was a lot of fun last week. So, and good to see you again, mate.
Absolutely love it. Look, that's what I was excited about, was getting you two in the same room so you can have your pillow fight and fight out whoever was riding this whole thing.
It was a good show, Dave. Actually, I called Justin right after I finished listening to it. I was driving back from Georgia from work. I was struggling on the drive, man. I was listening to some other podcasts, and I put our show on, and I was laughing the whole way home. You guys, it was hysterical. I loved it, so I could not wait to get on the show and just have a little banter with you, man. It was a good time.
Absolutely love it. Well, let me go to the guy that I will not fight in a pillow fight, because he would absolutely just crush me, and that is the great Mike. What's up, man?
What's going on? All's good in the Stolfi household. Everything's been good here. Had an eventful weekend, a little car shopping yesterday, and that's like, I think that and getting a new cell phone are probably the two things that I absolutely hate the most. I think those are two things that you just dread, but successful day. Sorry, got a new car. We're very happy about that. And then today I was busy doing all kinds of honeydew stuff around the house. I got a couple of days of work ahead of me, so I wanted to kind of get it taken care of. Beautiful weather here, as you know, Justin. I mean, we were hit low 80s today. Kyle's got me out running on Sundays. So I was out doing my run today, and it was hot, probably the hottest run I've had so far, but it's good. It's good. My had a little blister on my foot, and that's healed. So good run today. Got my things that I need to get accomplished done. So good weekend overall for us.
I love it. Yeah. It's been busy here. I've been trying to get everything ready and done. Of course, I'll be leaving out of town here in about 14 days. No less than that. 10 days. I'll be out of town, and I'll be out of town for a good 2 weeks. So I'll be taking a little bit of time away from the show. I'll be on heading down to the down on a cruise. I was supposed to go to Haiti, but with everything going on in Haiti right now, they just announced that they're not going to be stopping in Haiti for the next week. They haven't said that ours is canceled yet, but I doubt we'll be stopping in Haiti. So it'll probably be another day at sea on my 8-night cruise that I'll be spending time with the fam. So excited about that. So speaking of cruises, that brought us to tonight's topic, because the one thing you guys know is that I love Disney Cruise Line. I love sailing Disney Cruise Line. And I think it is a great opportunity for families to go and have that little bit of Disney and get outside and see other places around the world. And when Disney announced that they were getting three new ships, they also announced they're getting a new private destination. And so tonight we are going to talk about Lookout Cay at Lighthouse Point. We're going to talk about what we know, what we hope to see, and what we hope may change before it welcomes its first guest. Dave, you have a long, illustrious history with Disney Cruise Line, and you have a long, illustrious history with Castaway Cay. when they first announce a key, when they first announce a new private island, what's your first thought?
All right. So, you know, when you work in a place and like people, what's the word? Suck at keeping secrets.
Me, aka me.
Right. Okay.
Got
good.
It. Okay.
Excellent. Excellent. You're that guy who tells everybody in the workplace what's going on, but says, but you didn't hear it from me.
But it wasn't me. Yeah.
And then like 2 seconds later, they're all like, yeah, Justin told me.
That's why no one ever tells me anything.
Exactly. And we love you. Hey, like, this is one of those things that, like, when was that? 2011. So, yeah. 12 years ago, more than 12 years ago, 13 years ago when I left Disney Cruise Line. This was one of those things that was already a rumor going around then. That, oh, they're gonna need to expand the islands. They're gonna need to have because we had problems where have I ever told the story of the 6 and 8 day cruise? Disney Magic in 2010, I think it was about February of 2010. We were they had pulled the ship in, and it usually at Castaway it usually reverses in. So that then when they need to leave, they can head straight out, and they got plenty of time in the morning to do that. Anyway, they needed to do some maintenance on the port side of the ship, which is the left-hand side of the ship. And so in order to do that, they pulled in nose first. And then when they went to leave in the afternoon, there was a big storm coming in, and there was already a current running around Castaway, and it grabbed the tail of the ship, which didn't have enough power to push through it, and actually hit the rock wall, or it hit like the giant metal pole that sticks in the water just to the left-hand side of the ship when you're coming in. Like saying, don't go past this pole or there's giant rocks that will like wreck your ship. And they hit that pole. That's why it's on a lean, if ever you've seen it. Disney Magic, I was on board. And they actually had to stay in port overnight. And it, as a result of that, the next morning, the Disney Wonder was meant to come in, and it didn't get to go to Castaway that day because they didn't leave until like 11 a.m. or something. And at 11 a.m. when they were leaving Castaway, they were already meant to be about to be welcoming the new bunch of guests on in Port Canaveral that day. And so they actually did the 7 and 7 turned into a 6 and an 8. And it was an absolute dumpster fire of a week. Like it's categorically one of the worst weeks that I ever remember working on a ship. It was just terrible. And there was talk then in 2010 of they need more islands, particularly with new ships coming. We need more, like more places to be able to visit and rotate our guests through. And guests have been to Castaway for 20-something years. When did Castaway first accept people? I don't know. But yeah, like they've been going there for 20 years and that's great, but they needed to do something new. So it was always one of those things that we knew was coming. People have talked about for years. And we have slowly received more information of it over the last 3 or 4 years where it became a little bit more of a reality. And it's an exciting time at Disney Cruise Line. It's pretty cool.
1997, they purchased Castaway. Well, Gorda K.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then they didn't actually purchase it. They lease it. So
99-year lease, yeah. It took 18 months of construction before they brought first guests.
I was
going to
say
early 2000s. Yeah.
So
they brought their first guests on board. Joe, this is one of those things that, you know, with Disney Cruise Line, it's imperative to have places where you can have full control over the experience, especially when you're a premium experience when you look at the cruise lines. I mean, it's no secret that Disney Cruise Line is much, much more expensive than a Royal Caribbean, than a Norwegian, definitely than a Carnival. And so it's important for Disney to be able to have control over places like that. And now having what will be 7 ships, 8 if you count the one that they purchased, you know, just a couple of years ago, they're renovating. It's important to have this new spot.
So they're a victim of their own success, right? They were the first ones to kind of do this, I believe, right? And now every major cruise line has one. You know, Royal Caribbean's got, you know, Labadee and Coco Cay. Carnival has a new one now. Norwegian has one that's out by Coco Cay. And it gives these ships, as somebody who's kind of fairly new to cruising and likes to, you know, dive down the YouTube rabbit holes and do my research, after being on three cruises, four cruises in the last 2 years. It gives these ships now another place to go. I know for like looking into Royal Caribbean cruises, right? They're always stopping at Coco Cay. They're always stopping at Labadee. It gives them like places like shuffle ships in certain places, right? So you said with another ship coming on board for Disney Cruise Line, it's imperative to have them to have another place for them to go. And at the same time, not only are you charging a premium price, but you're also going to be charging that premium price because you have access now to this amazing location that is under their full control, that you're still getting the Disney experience, the Disney Cruise Line experience, which is even better. And also with those other perks that go with it, like with the cabanas and all the other kind of things that I'm sure we'll talk about tonight that are in the plans. But yeah, it's 100% where they have control over what you experience, what you see, how long you're there for, and you know what comes in and what goes out, you know, ship-wise. So yeah, I think it's definitely important.
Mike, you have been to Castaway. You know, I think it's very, very exciting because the one thing we know Disney does relatively well is they'll take something they've done and they will learn from it and they will bring, you know, kind of new things to it. So now that we know that we're getting Disney's Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point, you know, the one thing that they have really kind of honed in on is putting the culture of the Bahamas into the island. I mean, it's not just like they just have a beach and they put up some, you know, food items and some, you know, some little bit of shops, but they're really taking the culture of the Bahamas and putting it into this island.
Well, we've seen that already with, you know, with obviously construction of, you know, an Epcot when they did all the pavilions. Mm-hmm. They had the countries come over. They wanted to keep everything authentic. So I think that's true Disney fashion, how they want to keep the culture, you know, the same way it is on the island. They don't want to disturb anything. And they don't want to just make it, like you said, you know, beach chairs and umbrellas. They want to bring in that kind of a learning experience. You know, everything in Disney, there's always a story. There's something to learn. So I think that they're going to bring that in is obviously true to their nature, what they've done before. We've seen them do before. They always go to the experts. You know, Joe Rohde, whenever he just, you know, wants to start a new land or do something, he's always kind of, you know, talking about like, hey, this is what we've you know, investigated this culture, and we've kind of, you know, I've lived here for a while, and this is what the locals do. So I could definitely see why they'd want to do that and, you know, keep it very authentic in the Bahamas.
Speaking of Joe Rohde, why don't we hear from him right now about the kind of the way that they looked at this island and what they were going to try to accomplish.
Lighthouse Point is the very southernmost tip of the island of Eleuthera. It has these strange eroded cliff forms along the edge of the ocean, these different beaches, scoopy coves that face this turquoise blue, more Bahamian kind of water, and it's really spectacular. So the project is based on two inspirations. One is the living nature of Lighthouse Point itself. The second inspiration is cultural, where we're going to take a local idea, local people, local feelings, local stories, and bring them to life at this place. But to make this be authentic, we have to do that together with Bahamian artists and Bahamian thinkers and people from the Bahamian community. There's storytelling experience, there'll be musical experiences that all come together to make this very unique, vibrant, colorful art so that when you arrive, you feel like, oh, I've arrived at this actual place. Of course, with the volume turned up to have this really intense kind of experience.
The essence of the Bahamian art, I would say, is color. The essence is rhythm. The essence reflects the spirit of our people and to share their heart and soul and spirit about their love for this country. For me, that is the Bahamas, that's Bahamian.
Capturing the spirit of Eleuthera is the people. The people bring the history, the culture, the food, and so the relationship, the marriage of the locals and Disney, there's a spirit that's there that you feel immediately in Lighthouse Beach.
If there's any company in the world that can celebrate the best of a place and appreciate and respect the best of the people, it's Disney.
And there you have it. Lighthouse Point, coming straight from the mouth of people who are creating this amazing place. Joe, let's get into it. Before we get into what we know about the island, though, let's get into the lead up to this. This came with a lot of hurdles for the Disney company to try to get this off the ground, as far as buying the land and getting this approved by the Bahamian government. Because they kind of, I mean, let's be honest, the Bahamian government kind of learned with the first purchase of, hey, you're not just going to come in and take advantage of us.
Yeah, and I think they're learning this with all the different cruise lines that are going to the Bahamas, right? I think that lessons learned from what this sounds like, this is going to be, I think the Bahamian government, they said, if you want to do this, this is a very special place. Like, it looks beautiful from the video that we just saw. But I think they want to make it more of a celebration of their country and their culture and not really IPs and Mickey Mouse thrown everywhere. Now, I can't say I've never been a Castaway geek. I never experienced it, but this sounds like it's really going to be a celebration of the Bahamian people, the Bahamian culture, the music, the food. And that's kind of what this, what the government said, you want to do this, this is probably what you're going to have to do, is you're going to celebrate our culture and our people. And Disney Cruise Line is going to bring thousands of people in a year, and it's just going to promote, you know, the Bahamas itself as a country. So, I mean, that's kind of probably where they were coming from.
You were kind of mentioning it before we started recording too, that this island's going to be unique in the fact that there are public access lands on this island. Unlike Castaway, yes, there are people who live. Dave, how many people live on Castaway? There's probably, I don't know, maybe I would say a couple dozen people that live and stay on Castaway full time.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably only like a handful, probably like less than 10 that live there like permanently, like year round. Like that's literally their home kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then there's a bunch of people, all of the lifeguards and people like that.
Okay, yeah.
And they will spend 2 or 3 months on the island. And then during that time for their contract, they'll probably be there over the space of 4 months, but they'll also then rotate onto a ship for a week or 2 weeks, or maybe even up to a month.
And will they lifeguard on the ship?
Yes. So they'll lifeguard on the ship at the pools, at the slides. They help out with what they call port adventures desk, all of those elements of it. And they're just like an extra person on the ship that is standing in the lobby area, in the atrium, in the evening. There are walking signposts, for want of a better verbiage. Right. And yeah, they're just helping with all of those elements. So, but then they go back to the island for a period of time. So, but yeah, to the best of my knowledge, there's only 2 or 3, or maybe even only like less than 10, definitely, that are there for any length of time, for any prolonged period of time.
I don't think people realize the size of Castaway either. You know, you see a very, very small portion of it, Mike, like whenever you're there. I mean, if you go back, and I think you went with us, and if you go back, like if you're running the 5K and you're back on the loop, there is a kind of a lookout tower out there. And if you go up there, you can see the whole island, and it's a good size island that I would say maybe 10% of the island is used by the Disney company for what the guest would see.
Yeah, I mean, we did the 5K when it was the DDP trip back in 2019, it was, right?
Yeah,
something like that. We did that 5K, and we were able to see there was a landing strip back there. We don't always have planes used to land, and very cool how it expands out the back. And yeah, you really don't get a good grasp of how actual big the island is, because you only spend so much small amount of time in the area that you're actually vacationing in.
Mike gets emotional when we start talking about size of islands. Mike sees him getting misty eyed, you know, because Mike does not like a small island. And so when we first landed, he was like, "I'm telling you right now, I don't want anything to do with this tiny island." I said, "Mike, we're going to go back here, and I'm going to show you it's not that tiny of an island."
Okay? The one thing on the show that made me cry was a small island. After all the emotional roller coasters we've all been through, that was the one thing that did it. It was a small island.
I'm going to jump in really quickly while we're talking about the size of islands. To be like, if you go back to that that tower over there and take a look, you're right. It's only probably 10 to 15% that the guests get to see. And it's really just one strip along one edge of the island.
Yeah.
They then use a lot of it for backstage areas. They've got they've got buildings there for those people that do stay on the island for any period of time, and they've got eating locations and all of those sorts of things for them, but even then there's a big chunk of the island. And then in addition to that, there was, particularly in the last 5 to 8 years, we've seen it happening, where they started getting a lot more of the locals involved in being some of those lifeguards and people like that, that would be on islands nearby, to Castaway Key, and then they would come across in the morning, and they'd be operating some of those third party options, the tours, the parasailing, the jet skis, things like that. But then they started hiring them directly, and some would then come across to be the lifeguards as well. So we've definitely seen a bigger support for the local communities and an investment in them as a progressive thing leading up to Lookout Point.
And Joe, this is, it's kind of, you know, we're going back over to Lighthouse Point, Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. The one thing that the Bahamian government said whenever they were trying to finalize this deal was, hey, you're not going to outsource jobs. Like, we're not going to sell you this island, and then you're going to bring in your own construction. You're going to bring in your own people. Like, if we're going to sell you the island, there's a couple things that's got to happen. One, you've got to do a, keep a portion of the land that is going to be, you know, strictly for the Bahamians, for nature preserves, things like that. But also, you have got to provide a certain portion of construction related jobs. So initially they said, they agreed on 100 construction related jobs for the Bahamian people. Disney has actually done 300 construction related jobs for the people of the islands hired there. And then also in its head of agreement, they committed to creating at least 150 operational jobs, including management roles with benefits in various disciplines and levels and opportunities for training and advancement. So I think that's where kind of what Dave's talking about. You started to see a couple years ago with Castaway that they were starting to bring in locals to do these operational jobs. Now it seems like Disney's taking that to the next level, and they're kind of embracing that. Not even, Joe, see if you agree with me, not even almost willingly. They're embracing it because they kind of have to. It's a part of the contract that they were able to finally get with the Bahamian government to get control of this island.
Yeah, I'm sure that there is some legalese to this as well. For an example, I know when foreign companies want to start up and invest in the United States, a lot of times they're required to employ so many U.S. citizens rather than bringing in a whole bunch of foreign workers. So it's probably a similar type of thing. Dave could probably answer this better than most. Most of the ships are registered out of the Bahamas. I don't know how Disney Cruise Line is established, but if they're like based out of the Bahamas,
it's, or Bahamian,
if they have like a separate, like, you know what I'm saying, but it'll be like domestic hiring for them, like saying, hey, we just employ, you know, Bahamian, you know, citizens at the Bahamian rates, all of those labor laws and kind of whatever is established in the Bahamas, it's easy to work with. And at the same time, it also gives the Bahamian people like buy-in. It's showing like, look, you know, the Bahamian government, we asked for X amount, 150. We're going to give you 300. We're going to go above and beyond. So, I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of playing nice. It's establishing a partnership. Like I said before, to kind of establish that, you know, they probably learned from previous deals that made in the past. And Disney's like, hey, we are more than willing to cooperate and to go above and beyond and make this a true partnership and celebrate your culture. So look, it's a business at the end, right? And plus two, it's like anything else. What's the one thing that we love most about going to Epcot, right? We love to see, you know, the cast members from those countries. We want to see the locals who love where they live and love where they're from, you know, be a part of that, you know, that experience when you go to a, you know, Lighthouse Point. So I think it's a benefit all around where you're going to get, you know, employing local, you know, people and local citizens, and they're having the chance to be on the ships as well. And also the people who are sailing on the guests who are sailing on the ships will get that true Bahamian, you know, hospitality and experience that we all want to get when we go visit different countries. So I think it's a win-win on all parts.
Yeah, 100%. Mike, let's talk about what we know about the island so far. Like, let's talk about what we've seen. There are photos coming out of construction. There's, you know, that kind of stuff going on. With what Lighthouse Point will be. We know that Lighthouse Point will be pretty much based on Castaway, but elevated to a new level. I mean, they're going to have the pristine beaches. They're going to have opportunities for you to have meals there. They're going to have bars there. They're going to have kids clubs. They're going to have that kind of stuff. But it seems like the infrastructure, they're able to fix some of the problems that they have on Castaway going in now with Lighthouse Point. And I mean, just whenever we're looking at pictures of it alone, we see the detail of the buildings that we don't see on Castaway with that, you know, Joe Rohde said it, with that flair for the Bohemian artwork and the colors and the vibrance. So we kind of know now that, yes, this is going to be similar to Castaway in your experience space, but it's going to look a lot nicer, I think.
Yeah, I also think, I mean, obviously I'm looking at artist renditions because none of us have been there. But to me, it also looks like, looking at it, almost looks hub and spoke design, similar to how they have the park set up. You know, they took the design that works when it comes to designing places like, you know, Magic Kingdom with the hub and spoke design and having, you know, the center points and, you know, your weenies, Justin, you know, the park. It looks like they have something similar to that here. You know, you're going to have certain areas and everything's going to be sanctioned off and kind of everything's got its own place. I'm assuming that by looking at this, it's shopping's going to have its own little shopping district. The food's going to have its own little area. But like I said, this is going on artist renditioning, but I'm thinking that they've kind of went to that kind of design. And I think when you look at Castaway, which we've all been to before, it doesn't have that. It's kind of just find this, find that. It doesn't have that fluidness of what we're used to when we go to a park.
So we know that they are going to have cabanas. Dave, this is going to be a change for Lighthouse Point that we don't see at Castaway. So Castaway, the cabanas are kind of standard across the board. There are some larger cabanas, but mostly they're pretty much the same no matter what. This is going to have different structures of cabanas. So you're going to have a Serenity Bay cabana, which is going to start at a little over $500, and it's only for up to 4 guests. Each additional guest will be an additional cost. You can get up to 10 guests total in there. Then you have the Serenity Bay Grand Cabanas. They almost double in price, almost $1,000. That's for up to 10 guests. Each additional guest is another almost $50, and that's up to 16 guests in those cabanas. Then you have the family cabanas, which is going to be the same price, almost $1,000. And then you have the grand family cabana. So pretty much it seems like the Serenity Bay Grand Cabana, grand family cabana, the only difference is the beach they will be on. So the family cabanas are going to be on the family beach. The Serenity cabanas are going to be what sounds like will be the adult-only beach at the new island.
It would make sense. Yeah, I mean, talk about things that Disney Cruise Line have learned over the years. When Castaway was first created, cabanas weren't a thing. They weren't a consideration. They weren't thinking about this. They now know the value of them. They know the importance of them. They know that guests will pay for them to have that own little secluded area right there, beach adjacent with your own server. When you've already spent X number of thousands of dollars on your vacation overall, and you're like, for one more $1,000, I get an incredible day sitting on a beach, and all of these things are taken care of, and I don't have to be getting off the ship first and in the throngs and the rush of people trying to find where we're going to set up shop. Everything's already done and set, and we get to just roll in and go swimming. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that, and Disney now understands the value of it. So they've definitely learned a lot as a company over time, and they're ready to capitalize on that, and they're thinking about these things from the beginning.
I think I lost you, Dave. I lost your audio there, so I'm gonna jump in real quick. I just sent you a picture, Joe, and guys, I sent you all the kind of the article I've been looking at for this. When I look at this picture, you know, one, the building structures, if we compare it to Castaway now, the building structures are much more elaborate. They're bigger. It looks like the dining opportunities on Castaway are fantastic, but you pretty much are in a pavilion. You know, it's a covered open air, you know, pavilion that you walk up and eat at. These look like actual, these are going to be buildings that you can actually go inside. Most likely will have air conditioning, which you don't see on Castaway, kind of getting a break, multiple things. So if you're looking at that photo, Joe, this actually, I'm going to compare it because I think, and Royal Caribbean was at an advantage whenever they did their private island because they've done it. It's newer, you know, Castaway has been there for 20 years before Royal Caribbean did this, but it reminds me of Royal Caribbean's private island.
No, it definitely does. And I would not be surprised if these buildings, these restaurants, these air conditioned places were possibly an upcharge. You know what I'm saying? Like, this looks like maybe like a separate private area, because if you look at this picture that you sent us around, there seems to be like a kid's splash area. There seems to be a separate area for like lounge chairs to lay around. So this may be like an upcharge where it's like you have this like area, kind of like Royal Caribbean has like the private adult, the beach club, as they call it, right? That's like a whole separate area that you need a separate wristband for. This looks like something that could be that, where it's like, look, you're off the ship right now. If you want to have hot dogs and hamburgers or whatever, like chicken sandwiches, that's fine. But if you want to go in this area, have a separate play area for your children. You know, we have an area here where you could lay out for a little bit. We have three or four air-conditioned restaurants with different themes. You know, especially they talked about using the Bahamian cult, the local Bahamian culture. Maybe that they have specialties that you have that you can't get anywhere else. You know, where they're showing off that that local Bahamian culture. That's what this kind of looks like. They're really taking it to the next level. And yes, it may come at a price, whatever, but that's kind of, if you want that enhanced experience, that will be available to you. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what we're looking at, kind of plays into, you know, what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, Mike, this thing looks unbelievable. I mean, at Castaway, you do have seating all on the beach like that, but this looks like it's going to have a lot more areas outside of just having a beach day. You'll be able to do like splash pads and stuff like that. Let's see. Dave, you think you're good? Let me.
So,
do we got you?
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back. Hey, I missed you. I was so worried. Mike, this looks like it's going to have more opportunities. If you're, look, here's the thing. I've lived at the beach now for 17 years, right? I hate sand. I don't like sand. If I get to choose in my day, if I can go to a pool by the beach or like a splash pad by the beach or go lay on the beach, I'm always going to choose the pool area.
Oh, yeah. And it's nice to have that option. I mean, it's all about vacation. It's all about relaxing and to have options that you're getting on this newer island that you haven't gotten before. I think that's nice that they can incorporate those things kind of like we were able to do this here, but we want to be able to do this there. So it gives you, you know, more of an option of, hey, if I'm booking a cruise, if this suits your, you know, your forte more than the other one, then that's where you want to make sure your cruise line goes when you're taking a Disney cruise ship. You know, do you want to go to the new or do you want to go to the old Castaway? You know, I love the old Castaway. I'm looking forward to seeing this new spot. I think it's going to be fantastic. A lot of the architecture looks very, very cool. And I think they're going to have more opportunities for stuff to do. I'm hoping that they have a lot of the other stuff when it comes to, you know, like the, when we were on there the last time we were able to do the parasailing and they had when you could play with the stingrays, all that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping that they incorporate all of that there well as too, because that was a fun part of our vacations.
You know what I'm seeing, Dave? I'm seeing they're taking what's working at the resorts and putting it on the island. I mean, they're taking the pool areas with the splash play areas for the kids. And it's not just a little splash pad. I mean, like, you know, talking about looking at like the Poly and Grand Floridian and some of those resorts that have those big play structures that are water-based. That's kind of what looks like they're going to bring to this island too.
Yeah, they've definitely learned a lot of lessons, not only about islands in general, but yeah, what works and what the guests love. And if it works for them, why change it?
Okay. First off, as someone who worked on Cruise Line, right? And someone who spent a lot of time on Castaway, how nice would it have been? Look at it's the Cultural Enrichment Center, but also it's where they, if you're looking at the article I sent, it's where they, it looks like will host probably trivias or dance parties and stuff like that. But scroll down and look at the cabanas. It looks like I was saying, there's going to be multiple places you're going to be able to escape the heat and get into the air conditioning. How much would you have paid for some of those days to be able to just go into the air conditioning for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes? It looks like they're bringing that infrastructure they just don't have on Castaway.
Yeah, and not only that, from the cultural center point of view, if you've been on Castaway when everything goes south really fast and a storm rolls in, having a place to go to, particularly with small kids, having I worked in youth activities on the island, and that's not a fun experience when, yes, you've got a giant storm rolling in and you've got all these kids that you're responsible for the safety of, and parents haven't come to pick them up because they'll be fine. They're with Disney people. Having a safe location to take them to, there's a lot of benefits that come from it. But here's the other thing about that. We were in the video, they talked about the location of it. It's going to be on the island of Eleuthera. The island of Eleuthera is actually a major island of the Bahamas in general. It's a giant, big, long, almost archipelago looking thing that then goes into a bunch of islands that then come off it. But that's why they're able to have that infrastructure. It's why they don't have as many of those sorts of buildings on Castaway. And that is that everything that they wanted to do on Castaway, they had to bring it in. Even when they made the upgrades to the pier to be able to get the Dream and the Fantasy in, when they were building that in 2009, It was a mammoth effort to bring all of that infrastructure in. So they have the access point from a major functional island, which means they're able to have a lot of those new cast members and, yes, probably behind the scenes team members as well, HR and things like that, will literally be able to be located in proximity right there. And when things go south, when a giant hurricane rips through the entire region, they're going to have a lot more of that support network, a lot more. I remember once we were on the ship and there was the forecast of a storm. This must have been 2000.
Oh, we lost him again. We lost you again. We got to get Dave's mic fixed. Oh no. Hey, while he's getting back on, guys, let's go around this map. This is where I want to take us to. The map is on the article there. And if you're looking at it, we're going to start on the left-hand side. Actually, I'm going to start on the right-hand side because I want to talk to Dave about what's on the left-hand side because he'll have the most input on this. As we're making our way down, one, the solar farm, you know, Disney's really made it a huge part of their, you know, even in Walt Disney World in the Orlando area to, you know, try to put in as many solar panels as possible there. If you drive around property, you see them all over the place. But coming down, they have a proposed Disney-sponsored conservation center. Now, here's the thing, Joe. This is really unique because, like you were talking about before, this is going to be on a public road. So there, this part of the island will still be able to be accessed by people on the island of Eleuthera and not just DCL guests.
Yeah, this is probably something I wouldn't be surprised, excuse me, if you see schools coming out to this area and having some sort of like field trips, or it's a learning experience, or even the Bahamian government uses this area for other, you know, other, they bring other companies, or I don't know what I'm saying, but it could be used for so many things. It's not just exclusive to just, you know, cruise ship guests, you know what I'm saying? So this definitely has the possibility to be used for a lot of different things. It is located off of a quote unquote Disney donated public road. So this will be an active road. This is not going to be a completely private, you know, area. Now I'm sure there will be some sort of like security and stuff there, but I'm saying, but this, they will be people from the outside, you know, coming in to use this. So it wouldn't be so, you know, wouldn't surprise me to, you know, be used for multiple purposes in the community, not just for, you know, entertaining ship guests.
Well, and then so right past that, it looks like there will be a gate check to where you won't be able to get further down into the island from that spot. But coming down, you've got some crew housing. You're going to have North Beach, and then you're going to have a art and culture center, which will be strictly for Disney Cruise Line guests there, Joe.
Yeah, and like I said, it's something where, like, they, Joe Rohde and the video, I kind of said they want to celebrate, you know, the Bahamian artists, the Bahamian music, Bahamian culture. And I think this is going to be like the primary area for it. And I wouldn't be surprised that, like, you know, in your cruise ship itineraries, that they have specific things where they have historians or experts in that field to come in and give you a tour of, like, the specific, you know, cultural things or artifacts or maybe in this museum that you could actually have as like a tour. You know, it would be no different if you were going somewhere else. You know, you could pay, you know, a small fee, like a $25 or $30, and have a tour by an expert person, kind of like almost like a little museum area. I wouldn't be surprised if they did something like that. So the opportunities are endless for what they could use this space for, but definitely to also encourage, you know, the local community to, you know, donate to this area as well, like saying, look, this is our culture, this is what we want to show off to everybody who comes to visit our island.
So Mike, there's the thing. So we have the North Beach, you've got the East Family Beach, all in that same area. It looks like that mm-hmm. is going to be the main area for guests, because when we move down to the South Family Beach, that's a future expansion. They're not even worried about that right now. I think the tram system is going to be massive with this island. It's nice at Castaway, but you can get around Castaway just by walking. I've walked the entire, you know, island there. I a lot of times don't take the tram. I'll just walk it. You can get from one area to, you know, even if you're going out to the adult only beach, it's a 20-minute walk, but, you know, it's doable. It's very doable. This is going to be on the other side of the island from the access pier, from where they're going to be bringing ships in. So you have the North Beach, you have the East Family Beach, and then you have a few future expansion sites that we'll talk about in just a minute.
Yeah, a spa and wellness center. I mean, that's going to be, I mean, thinking about getting, you know, massages out there in the beach area would be amazing. I mean, we've had some, you know, on some of the cruise ships, they have them overlooking the water and, you know, being able to expand into that. You can see all of the donated land that they wind up that Disney gave back. I guess they're going to keep that, you know, preserved. But yeah, definitely it's going to be the tram is going to be a huge here. You know, it's going to be a major part of their transportation to get around because of the size and the scope of what they have from where the port is to where you're going to be having all of your family activities.
Dave, do I got you back?
I think so.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, perfect. Because there are a couple things I want to get into and I need your opinion on them. One, you know, we look at Castaway. Castaway was such a unique. We did a show on Castaway a long time ago. And the fact that Castaway was really used as a drug running island for a long period of time before the Bahamian government took it over and then Disney took it over.
I believe what you're trying to say is Gorda Key has a very rich and varied history.
All the way back into the 1600s with piracy and drug running and all that good stuff. So, yes. So whenever we look at this and we talk about Castaway, Disney has said, hey, we're opening the island to guests, but we do have multiple sites that are going to be expansion sites. So let me roll through these really quickly. Mike kind of mentioned one, the spa and wellness with the future cabanas expansion. That's going to be all future expansion, won't be open on opening day from what we're hearing. Then you've also got the adventure camp. Trails and Lookout Tower, which is a future expansion that they're going to do there. Do you think that Disney, looking back at the way they did the infrastructure at Castaway, wish they had been like, okay, cool, we're going to save these spots and we can always do future expansion there? Or do you think they said, hey, it's too hard to build infrastructure at Castaway because we don't have that route in. We have to bring it all in by ship. And so we're just going to take it to Lighthouse Point and do it there.
I don't know. I think they would have, I think the dream would be to have it at both locations, but yes, it is just so much more difficult there, at Castaway. So yeah, I understand both sides of that, and what they would have liked to have achieved.
Mike, the thing with the let's talk about the pier, guys. This is unique. So Castaway, you pull up to the island, the actual island itself, right? Mm-hmm. This is going to have an access pier. Now, I think that's a great thing. Here's why I think it's a great thing. If they do it right, they could host multiple ships in one day. If they do it right, take Royal Caribbean, for example. They can host multiple ships in one day. Now, do I think the island is going to be ready for that many people when it opens? No, I don't. But they could do it. You know what I mean, Mike?
I do, but I would rather see it kind of exclusive to one boat at a time. That's one of the fantastic things about Castaway is because, you know, you obviously have all of the people that are on the ship, and it does get a little crowded at Castaway sometimes, but I never feel where it's too crowded. You start putting a second ship in there, I don't know. I mean, I like the opportunity to, unless you're going to be piggybacking, like people come off, the next one comes in, and you have that kind of with that situation that what Dave had where they couldn't get the boats in and out fast enough. If you had that extra parking spot, that would be fantastic. But I don't know. That's I like having the exclusivity of having just kind of one ship there. The less, I'm not a people person anymore, especially since I moved south. I like being, you know, kind of secluded. So I'm more of a one ship kind of guy.
If big islands, one ship, that's Mike's thing. Joe, you sent it in the chat. Dude, if this thing is to scale, that is a long pier, man.
So I put it in the chat for a reason, but I have like one thought that just came to my mind. Pier runner, right? Because,
oh yeah.
Because it seems like the majority of the original buildings that will open up first are on the other side of the point. And if you see on the map, it says South Family Beach for future expansion. So it sounds like dock will be over here, but all the way over here will be you know, where everything will kind of open for the first time. And I could just see this now where there'll be lines for trams to get back, or it just looks like a really long journey back to the ship. So, but at the same time, this is almost the equivalent of when you go to the TTC. It's like you get to the Magic Kingdom parking lot, you're so excited, and then you still have like a 20-minute journey just to get to the front gates. This is like you just docked, you're ready to go, and it's like, yeah, you either got to wait for a shuttle or like a 25-minute walk. I don't know how it's going to be, but it just looks like a really far journey to where everything's going to open for the first time. But I guess we'll see what happens. Time will tell.
An access pier legitimately looks like it's a mile long. I mean, that's like, I mean, if you're looking at it, you're like, that thing is ginormous. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, so there's two alternatives, and you guys know this. They could either do that, or they could spend 3 years, you know, kind of blowing up, you know, and creating room for the ship to get closer to the island. And they're not going to do that. They're dredging the Charleston Harbor right now to make it to where we can get larger cruise ships. So Charleston Harbor is, the port is completely shut down. We don't have any cruise lines going out for the next couple of years because they want to make it to where we can have multiple cruise ships in port, and we can have larger cruise ships at a depth to where they can dock, which is going to be fantastic. And so I guess they had kind of those two options with this of, hey, do we just build a long pier or do we go in and dredge this thing? And Mike, I mean, obviously this is probably the one, the most cost effective way. And two, if you're looking at time, we know Disney doesn't do anything quickly to be able to get this thing open. I mean, it's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah, I would think so. I think probably cost effective wise, have the longer pier is probably going to be, you know, the most, you know, cost effective wise. This way they're not, you know, and obviously, like you were saying, time, because if you wind up trying to get the boat closer, I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking that closer to the shore is probably better when it comes to storms. I mean, I'm not much of a ship captain, but I would think that that's the way it would be. This almost seems like it's got another, you know, half an hour ride to the coast. So yeah, it's definitely a long pier. I'm hoping they do have transportation on there. It's definitely a good place if it's wide enough to set up some shops, some gift shops, and some other stuff along the way there. I mean, it's a last minute money grab.
They're going to put a hotel halfway around this thing, Mike.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know when you get off some of the cruise ships, you get those, Disney that have those castaway bags where you could buy the cooler bags and stuff. And there's definitely some opportunities on this because you got a lot of real estate between where the boat lands and between they'd almost be better off with those tethered boats, you know, like when you can't get into a dock and they have those
tender boats.
Tendering is terrible. You don't want that.
The only bad part about tendering is if it's bad weather, you're done. You're not getting it.
Correct.
Well,
and the same actually goes for Mike. I'm not a ship captain either. I don't claim
what?
To be.
You guys are blowing my mind. I thought for sure you both were.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
That night that I was talking about where we couldn't get out of Castaway, they actually had real problems with the ship being pushed against the pier, like the giant concrete pier. And they were super worried. And then water would come in and fill as it moved away and would like pull back. I remember we snapped 6 bow lines, and a bow line is about, I don't know, 3-4 inches in diameter. And they were snapping bow lines that night. Like it was insane. Being attached to a pier in the middle of a storm is actually a really bad thing. They don't want that. They want to be able to literally just cast off and go if the weather starts looking bad. So that's probably part of the reason for this gigantic piece of real estate that's going in there.
Really quickly, so the one thing, Dave, I want to get your opinion on it, is they do have a area set up for crew recreation. Is that something they have at Castaway?
They do have some areas, and there is actually a crew beach area located down near Serenity Point, Serenity Bay, whatever it's called. So when you get to the end of that airstrip on Castaway, where you kind of go to the right and you veer to the right to head to Serenity Bay. If you make a hard left, you go into their crew area. They've got their own volleyball and soccer fields and a place where you can eat. It's usually pretty good food on the island, burgers and things like that, similar to what they're doing for the guests, which compared to the food on the ship for the crew members, you're definitely not getting the lobster or anything like that. So on a day where you were getting food quality of a similar standard to the guests, you were always like, I'm going to the island to get food.
That's so interesting. Yeah, so yeah. Pre-recreation stuff's up there. One last thing before we get our final thoughts here. Joe said, I don't see where the lighthouse is. I don't either there, buddy. But I do
I
have a
assume
question
they'll
for you, Joe.
Build one at some point.
I'm hoping they'll build one. Yeah. I do have a question for you, Joe. And look, the Castaway 5K, which our good brother here had his hand in creating. For those of you who don't know that, Dave was one of the creators of the Castaway 5K. This island, and maybe it's just not to scale, but they have a ton of nature trails. They've got a ton of, like I said, more infrastructure. Will this bring into a possibility of a 10K or a half marathon added to a Run Disney event?
So I will definitely say negative. There's too much support that goes into a half marathon or even a 10K. Dave, I mean, could speak to the planning of the 5K at Castaway K. You know, it's one of those things that's a little bit easier to do. It's a very 3 miles is a very small footprint. And I think that this island with the nature paths could probably handle it if their paths are wide enough, but 100% not a half marathon or a 10K. There's just not enough support, medical, volunteers. It takes a lot to put on those races. We see that at the Run Disney races and even your local 10Ks and half marathons. There's a lot of planning that goes into it. So I don't think that's something that would be, it would be a first. It'd be definitely a destination, but I don't see that happening.
I'll piggyback into that and say, all right, so let's say you've got 3,000 people on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, when they have 3,000 guests on the ship, they get what? Maybe 40 or 50 that are like, I'm going to go run a 5K and go all the way out there, run the 5K, get their cool little medal. Awesome. How many of those people that are, I'm going to go run a 5K in the heat of the Bahamas in the middle of summer are also at a point where they're like, I could totally do a 10K.
Well, hold on, wait, let me jump in, because I think if they did a, because they do have the challenge to where if you go and do the 5K after you do a Run Disney event, that, you know, what is that, yeah, after marathon weekend, Joe?
I think it's marathon weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things where if they made it to where they're targeting those Run Disney, like if they were to say to me, hey, you're doing Dopey, I'm doing Dopey in January, right? If you go to Lighthouse and you do, let's say, the 10K, you get this challenge medal too. Guess what, dude? I'm doing it. Let's go. I'm in.
And they've had that. They've done that at Castaway.
Yeah. They've done that with the 5K.
The 5K,
yeah, but I'm, yeah, saying, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah.
In the heat of summer, like, it's not too bad in January, but the heat of summer in on one of those islands, like, we've had medical challenges with people trying to do a 5K. Like you're asking for trouble. I'm just saying.
Well, the pier looks 5K over to the beach, man.
Say the pier looks about 5K.
Exactly. Or at least there is like a decent medical team, because you're on an actual inhabited island. So yeah, if you're on Eleuthera, they can probably get you somewhere if you do collapse.
They're like, we're going to do a half marathon. It's just you getting to the North Beach over by the Art and Culture Center. Good luck.
Make your way back, though.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man, to see what the scale is to this, because that's the one thing they don't seem to have a problem with is size, is land. Like, they're going to be able to pretty much add on and do whatever they want moving forward. And by the time they get done, the pretty cool thing is it looks like the crew is going to have their own area, their own beach, stuff like that. And then you're going to have a North Beach, an East Family Beach. You're going to have a South Family Beach and a South Beach cabanas down there. So lots of areas for people to spread out, lots of people. That way, Mike, you don't hear anybody. You can go somewhere and just mm-hmm. you. And then also kind of right there in the middle of that central area is those Arts and Culture Center. You know, it looks like it's going to be a place for to get dining and all that great stuff. So lots of fun stuff coming with this. They're going to be welcoming the first guest in June of this year. Boys, let's final thoughts on this. Mike, you what do you think, man? Lighthouse Point, brand new addition to Disney Cruise Line Experience.
I'm a huge fan of Castaway, so I'm really looking forward to this. Definitely something that I want to check out. I'm hoping it's as good or better than Castaway, because Castaway holds a very special place in my heart. Love going there with the family. We had some great family vacations there, some fantastic family memories. So I'm certainly looking forward to this new area that we can check out and maybe create some more memories.
100%. Joe Q, will this get you on board a Disney cruise?
I mean, yeah. I mean, listen, I love cruises now, but I think this is more for the return guests, right? This is going to be a new destination for somebody, Justin, like yourself, who's done many, many cruises. Dave, who's done many, many cruises on Disney Cruise Line. This is a new experience for you. And I think Disney's been under attack a little bit lately with all of these creation of all these other islands by, you know, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian Cruise Line. You know, Carnival's got a new one coming out. So now they're up in their game. They're the ones that kind of brought this to the forefront. Now they're stepping up their game. And like Dave said, this has been in discussion for a really long time. So these things don't happen overnight. So I think Disney Cruise Line and that part of the company really planned well in advance to, for this to happen. So I think this is definitely going to be taking a successful product, which they are right now, and it's going to plus it even more. So yeah, it'll definitely get me on a Disney cruise ship. I would like to go to Castaway, okay, the original. I haven't been there yet, so then I can make my comparisons. But time will tell. We'll get out there. I'm sure we'll have a DDP trip out there one of these days. So
100%. Dave, you've spent the most time out of all of us. You know, I've sailed a lot, but you've spent the most time on Castaway. What's one thing you really hope to see on Lighthouse that maybe we didn't have at Castaway?
Ooh,
I know I'm throwing it to you.
Yeah.
I'll give you mine while you're thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
I really hope that there's great structured activities for kids on Castaway. Kids Club's really, really great on Castaway. The problem with the Kids Club on Castaway is that there are small shaded areas, but not a lot. And those kids are in the so I hope there's more, and we kind of saw with the photos, more structured things for kids, teens, tweens, all that. Because if it's structured to a point to where, hey, they have air conditioned bathrooms, they have a place where they can get out of the heat for a minute, they're doing activities inside and outside, they've got the pool, they've got the splash pad, they've got all this, that allows the parents to also have time to themselves.
Yeah.
So that, I think the dining would be great. More dining options.
I mean, imagine going and sitting on a beach in like a Narcoossee style restaurant, like a full scale restaurant.
Palo, but yeah, oh,
Palo on the island.
Yeah.
If you're talking about amenities, I do like what you were saying earlier about pools and things like that. On our visits to Coco Cay.
Yeah.
Yes, yep. They call it K. On our visits there, those pools have been great. So, yeah, like I think they've got the opportunity to learn from others, do things better, and all of that. I will say I'll be interested to see how it goes, because if we think about how the dream and the fantasy and now the wish have gone, where everybody wanted to go to the brand new Disney thing. And that's what Disney promotes, and that's what people who are new to the product are sailing on. They're going on the Wish because it's the 3 and 4 night cruises. And that those are going to be going to Lighthouse Point initially. And everybody's going to want to go to Lighthouse because it's the new thing. I'll be interested to see, and I look forward to having this discussion with you 3 or 4 years from now, if we see a swing back in the other direction where everybody's like, oh, we've done Lighthouse, but we like Castaway. It's the original. We see this with
Disney. I feel about the magic and the wonder.
Exactly. We see it with Disney guests time and time again. We give them something new. Everybody wants to do it because it's the new, fancy, sparkly-looking thing. And then we get this swing back the other direction where everybody now wants to go back to the original, the thing that started it all, the steadfast, you know what you're going to get. So I look forward to that. I'm calling it now that we're going to see. I look forward to this sitting in perpetuity on the interweb and people being allowed to listen to the, yeah, that's a thing. I'm old, I know. And people being able to listen to this years later and be like, Dave called it, because I think we're going to see that. It's going to be one of those things where everybody wants to do the fancy new thing and then we wind up going back the other direction.
No, I will tell you that we've been seeing some artist renditions of some of the stuff that we're going to, you know, possibly get when we get there. But I will be very excited to see when our first DDP family goes down there and take some pictures when they're out on this island. And, you know, post those pictures on our Facebook page, because we have an amazing DDP Today Facebook page. And then we have some amazing people that post some great pictures. It brings me to my favorite thing every week, and that's Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week. Picks of the Week. It's time for us to get our Picks of the Week.
As you guys know, my favorite thing every week, and that's Picks of the Week. Joe, tell me, what's your pick of the week?
So my pick comes over in the Patreon group. It goes out to Cammie Duffy, and she's out in Epcot today. We are recording on St. Patrick's Day, and she's out there with her family just enjoying Epcot on a beautiful Central Florida Sunday, St. Patrick's Day. So for that, Cammie gets my pick of the week.
Very cool. Great pick. Justin, what's your pick of the week?
I'm going to go with the great Ravi. He's over on the DDP Today Sorcerer's page. If you haven't joined, go join that right now and take that first step towards your goals, no matter where you're at, no matter if you're running a marathon, your 5K, your first step, your millionth step. It is a positive place to join together and to reach those goals. I mean, everybody there's amazing. He said Shamrock 4-miler in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Crushed it, man. Absolutely love it. All the smiles. So congratulations, dude. Really, really love it.
Very cool. Great pick. Dave, what's your pick of the week?
I've got a little bit of a shout out. I mean, if there's any day of the year that is going to make our Disney drinks with the DDP page go wild, it's going to be the 17th of March. So we've had a few posts over on that one. But I wanted to give a shout out to Dana Frappier, with some deliciousness. Apparently there was a Taylor Swift watch party that had something delicious going. Yeah. I'm amazed you weren't invited or involved.
I was gonna say, where's the invite?
Ah,
but hi, I'm the one left out. It's me.
Yeah, that's correct. But she does have some crumble cookies with some Jameson Irish whiskey going on, just a whole bunch of deliciousness happening over there. So that is my pick of the week. But while I'm having a quick moment talking about the 17th of March, I also want to wish my mom, who I'm pretty sure doesn't listen to this, but my mom's birthday is today.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, funniest thing about that is that she's born on St. Patrick's Day, and she could count on one hand how many times in her life she has had an alcoholic drink. Yeah, like born on the national holiday of it, or the international holiday of it, and was never a drinker. So a very happy birthday to my mom, who, do the math, I think turned 72 today. There you go. Happy birthday,
Mom. Fantastic. Happy birthday. My dad's never tasted alcohol in his whole life.
There you go. I'm pretty sure she had a sip of champagne at my wedding. Yeah.
So tomorrow's my mother's birthday. And the 18th is her birthday tomorrow. She's going to be 79 tomorrow. And unlike you guys, she had me as a son. So she's had multiple drinks. As a matter of fact, most of her life drinking because of, you know, just things that I put her through. So there's that.
Funny. Well, guys, what's your...
Oh, guys, for Three's Company, my mom's birthday was on the 16th. It was on Saturday. So it's
my mom was on March 8th. My mom is on March 8th.
That is weird.
That's weird.
Can somebody text Dan and ask when his mom's birthday is?
Yeah, I'll do it right now.
Right now, we need to know, because if all five of our moms are in March,
is this going to be just randomly at 9:19 on a Sunday night? When's your mom's birthday?
It makes complete sense. Hold on. So Justin on the 8th. Joe on the 16th, my mom on the 17th. I've actually got a brother tomorrow on the 18th as well. Mike on the 18th as well. Mm-hmm. That's nuts. We need Dan in on this. Somebody text him. Wow.
I texted him just now. Yeah.
It's going to screw it up and be in August.
Oh, come on, Dan.
Leave it to Dan.
Throw him out of the group.
We need a host for this. To keep
the next host be fine. Your mother has to have a birthday in March.
That's the new rule. Mike, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is going to be on our regular DDP podcast family Patreon page. Not the Patreon, on the regular group, because you know we've hit all the groups tonight. We've hit the Patreon, we've hit the running group, we've hit the drinking group. So I'm going to the regular page tonight, and I got Katie Brenning, and she started the day with the Keys to the Kingdom, and then they park hop. They did the four park challenge. They hit Epcot. They hit Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom, and Magic Kingdom. So they had a full day. They had some great pictures. And Katie, congratulations on your bucket list, hitting all the parks of the four park challenge. You are my pick of the week.
Absolutely love it. DDP family, we're excited, man. This is, look, I love Disney Cruise Line. I love sailing Disney Cruise Line. Excited for this brand new island, Lookout Cay at Lighthouse Point, coming this summer. And I'm excited. If you have something booked, or if you want to get something booked, of course, get a hold of us, show at awaywithmetravel.com. But if you are already heading, we cannot wait to hear your opinions on this incredible island, everything that's there, everything that's coming. And it's going to be a fantastic time for Disney Cruise Line guests to be able to have this new experience in the Bahamas at this incredible, incredible place. So boys, let's head over to Patreon. We have a brand new segment coming up for our patron family. Open tabs, and we will explain it over on the patron side, and we're going to have a ton of fun with it, something you can play at home with your family as well. So looking forward to that. But before we do that, let's close this up, and Joe Q, come to you.
Yeah, this is stuff that as Disney fans, we love to see, right? We love to see the company doing new things, expanding, making new experiences, new attractions, right? And if you're a fan of Disney Cruise Line, this is right up your alley. This is something that sounds like it's been in the works a long time. So even though I haven't experienced the original Castaway Key K, however you want to say it, this looks really Castaway Key. This looks amazing as well. So it gives me something to look forward to for multiple Disney Cruise Line trips. So exciting to see, looking forward to any of our DDP family who will be out there to share their experiences with us. And yeah, Patreon, stand by. You guys are on deck.
Mike?
Yeah, I had a great time talking about this tonight. I'm certainly looking forward to seeing the new island. Can't wait to vacation there. Can't wait to take a cruise with the family. It's been long overdue cruise time. So I'm glad we got to chat about it tonight, and hopefully it'll be as good as Castaway.
Dave? I'm sitting here, Dave, you're pushing this. I'm Facebook stalking Dan to see if he ever posted happy birthday to his mom.
Oh, okay.
So far he hasn't.
All right, fine. Hey, a great topic. We love to discuss what is coming to what's new and what's happening with the Disney company. That's part of what we do here. I always love that we do it in such a way where we're not like everybody's talking about this, so we're the one talking about it. No, we're talking about something that nobody else is talking about. So I do always enjoy that. And yeah, we've got all sorts of fun things coming to Disney Cruise Line over the next few years, new ships and this new island. So excited to see what it is, and looking forward to years from now being able to come back to this moment and say, I was right.
I absolutely love it. DDP family, go over to the DDP Today Facebook page over there. Let us know your opinions on this brand new island, the new addition to Disney Cruise Line. And we can't wait to hear what you think about, and if you will be going to have an incredible experience at this amazing island. Boys, let's head over to Patreon. Let's have some fun with Open Tabs. DDP family, have an amazing week. Spread some cheer. Be the best version of yourself. And we will see you real soon. Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Cheers.
See you guys.
On behalf of the Disney Dads, we want to say thank you. We hope you find a little magic in your life every day. Spread some Disney love and keep moving forward.
And they all lived happily ever after. Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us. And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic within.
Ready to begin, let the wonder.
And that's a wrap.
This has been YDF Media Productions.